Chris Hurt for his opening comments. Chris, again, is a professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University. Chris?
Well, thank you very much, and a pleasure to be with everyone today. I just want to make a few comments about some of the general tone in this report, and I think one of the first things that we pick up from Steve's listing of some of the numbers is the breeding herd. And, of course, we have the theme this winter has been where did all the pigs come from, and one of the concerns has been that the breeding herd has expanded more rapidly, that there just simply was more expansion going on than what USDA had picked up in the December report. So I think if you listen closely to Steve, you heard that the breeding herd only up a couple of percent, certainly was below expectations, and I think that is an indication that we have not had a huge expansion or larger than what generally was anticipated, in fact, a little smaller than anticipation. Then as we look at pigs per litter, one of the keys for us to try to begin to understand the impacts of PED a year ago versus what we saw this winter. And in the quarter that we've just finished, the DEES February quarter, 10.17 pigs per litter, and that's, as Steve indicated, nearly 7% higher. Now, that returns us pretty close to what expectations would have been with no PED influence at all. So I think what we would say is that the impact of PED this winter was relatively small from the data we have now from USDA. And again, that's very encouraging from the production standpoint in the industry that we've taken on this difficult disease over the last year and a half and been able to really reduce the overall impacts this winter versus a year ago. So that's encouraging. Then I think the final thing I'll mention is the intentions. And of course, the worry had been that we really had expanded the herd more dramatically than what had been anticipated, and therefore these farrowing intentions that we would be seeing this spring and on to the summer would be considerably higher. The March-May quarter up 2%, and so that is in line with the breeding herd, and even a lower reduction of 2% for the going into the June August quarter on into the summer quarter. So I think, again, what we have is a modest expansion of the breeding herd, and intentions are more modest than what we saw. So I think that's a little bit of comfort on overall supplies, particularly as we go on out later this fall and into 2016.
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate your comments there. We'll move to Bob Brown. Bob is an independent market analyst from Edmond, Oklahoma. Bob?
Happy spring, everybody. Big revisions primarily focused on the June-August pig crop. Now, that's the hogs that we were seeing slaughtered at plus 8 to 10% recently. So they revised the June-August pig crop up about 868,000 head. So it went from minus 1.1% from a year ago to up 1.8% from a year ago, so almost a 3% increase from the previous time. They rolled it through into the under 50-pound market hogs for September 1. So all those inventory numbers have been revised upward based on that. They it was pretty much a 1-to-1 increase from the pig crop into the under 50s, which is what you would expect anyway. So they revised those up. They revised the December inventory up about 95,000, so really not very much compared to the huge increase that they added to the June-August. The one thing that I'm a little concerned about is in our balance sheets, you know, we have this residual number, as the grain analysts would call it. We call it the two-balance figure. For this quarter, the last 5 years, it's run about 2.7 million head negative, and this year it's at 1.6 million head negative. So we gained about 1.1 million head just out of the two balance figure. Okay, and so I'm not sure if that means we had no death loss maybe in the last 3 months. Maybe that's how how it's being manifest. But that's the one thing that looks a little strange to me in the numbers. I'll turn it back to you, Cindy.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate that. Dan, we'll move to you. Dan Vowett is an economist with Doan Advisory Services out of St. Louis, Missouri. Dan?
Okay, thank you, Cindy. I thought I would talk about what this means for the short-term outlook as far as the hog supplies go. As Steve said, the weight breakdown showed the number of pigs weighing 180 pounds and over as of March 1st at 109% of a year ago. And that essentially implied that March slaughter and maybe some of the into the first week or two of April would run 9% over a year ago as well. And those numbers pretty much match what we've been seeing the last few weeks. Previous 2 weeks averaged about 10% over last year. This week's total from USDA at 2.27 million, that actually is 11.8% over a year ago. So we're certainly confirming that number. The two midweight categories, though, suggest that once you get into mid-April, into May, and early June, that the numbers will, on a comparative basis, decline to some extent. And you should also remember that on a seasonal basis, hog slaughter will tend to decline. Anyway, so late April numbers, into May, be up about 6%, and then May and June maybe up 7%, and late June, by the time Independence Day rolls around, the numbers are suggesting we're going to be back up toward 9% over year-ago rates and really similar increases pretty much through the summer. And, of course, if you remember, last summer the numbers were down 8 to 10% on a regular basis once you got out into August and September. So going forward, you know, a lot depends on the size of the March-May litter sizes and so on. Certainly, the numbers look like we're getting right back onto the long-term upward trend as far as litter sizes go. So we should probably look for March-May litters up 6 to 7% over a year ago, very much like this report showed. And then with a 2% increase in farrowings, we're probably looking at ball numbers again, 8 to 10% over last year. It would be pretty surprising if they fall short of those numbers. And really, going into 2016, who knows at this point? It's pretty early. That's what I got.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate that. You bring up a good topic with the slaughter capacity. And as we're preparing for our questions from the media, I'm going to take the liberty to ask the very first question before we turn things over to our media folks and ask Steve to talk to us a little bit about the slaughter capacity issue, which we're hearing more, obviously more and more about. Steve?
Cindy, each spring I do a survey of pet packers, and I'll be redoing that survey here in the next few weeks. And I don't think there are going to be very many changes this year relative to a year ago. We haven't heard much talk about any remodeling at very many of the plants. We picked up a couple of major changes last year, but right now the 5.4 days per week slaughter capacity is just over 2.5 million heads, 2.512 million heads per week. The kind of numbers that are in this this report is going to put us very close to that number this fall. I don't think we're going to have any numbers much over it. We can run over it. That's not a hard and fast number. Plants, a few plants that normally don't work on Saturdays can push that up to 5.5 or 5.6 days per week of total slaughter. Some plants can run 9-hour shifts or 10-hour shifts for a short time period. Instead of 2 8s, they'll run 2 9s or something like that. A lot of plants have some flexibility in the short run, so for a few weeks we can handle that. I don't think we're even going to be above that number. It's going to be pretty close this fall. Our worry had been the fall of 2016 because we could see, you know, with profits last year, and we thought we were going to have profits this year, and I still think, you know, there's an outside chance we could have profits this year, but they're not going to be very large. We thought that we'd see significantly more expansion keep rolling through this year, and we would have higher hog numbers in the fall of 16. Now, this breeding herd figure in this report says that might not be a problem. But the point on that Bob made about the litter size, or Chris made, about the litter size getting back to the pre-PEDV levels is a good one, because prior to PEDV, we were running 2% growth of litter size per year for a number of years. We get back on that track, then 16 could still be a challenge, and we will have very little, if any, more slaughter capacity by the fall of 2016. There is a new plant been announced in Michigan. It will not be in service until the late 2017 at the earliest. There's rumors of another plant in the Western Corn Belt. Obviously, that one hadn't even started yet, so I don't think it can be really online until 2018 at the earliest, wherever and whoever it ends up might be involved in that process. So, again, this fall, I think we'll be okay. We might be a little tight for a few weeks. Some of my fears about 2016 are being a little bit allayed by the breeding herd, but a resurgence, a return to 2% productivity growth per year could put us in a pretty tight spot that fall still yet.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate those comments. Operator, we're ready to pull for questions from our media folks. If you could help us understand how to get in queue if our reporters have a question, and we'll get those answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin. And there are currently no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and talk about our price expectations, outlooks for the next few quarters, and give our reporters just another minute or two to get their questions in the queue. Let's go ahead and start with Chris and then work our way to Bob and then to Dan with our price expectations for the next few quarters, as well as the price system that you're quoting. Chris?
This is Chris, and my estimates feel pretty low relative to the extreme highs we had last year, but I'm using a live weight basis. USDA still uses that, so I have stuck with it. Second quarter, 54. Third quarter, 55. Last quarter of the year, 50. Averaging the year around $52.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move to Bob for yours.
Okay. I'm using the carcass, what do we call it, lean value, equivalent to the Merck board. So I have a 71 in the April-June quarter comparing to $117 a year ago. I have a 75 in the July-Sep quarter, compares to 114 a year ago. And I have a 66 in the fourth quarter, October-December quarter, that compares to 92 a year ago.
Thank you very much, Bob. Dan, how about you?
Well, I'm pretty much in agreement with Bob in a larger sense. I also use the CME index carcass-based price. I have the average April-June cash price at 72, and then I've got the July-September quarter averaging at around 74. I'm a little more bearish for the fourth quarter. I have that at 62.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Operator, do we have questions from our reporters now?
We have one question in the queue coming from the line of Dan Grant. Please proceed.
Hi, yes, just dovetailing with the price outlooks. What are the returns per head looking like? Steve had kind of mentioned profitability being marginal this year. Could you talk about returns this year?
This is Chris Hurd. I have run my numbers quickly, and again, we all want to spend more time doing evaluations. But profit per head on my estimates was a record high last year, $53 per head on average. And in the second, third quarter, profits per head quarter averages were above $70. So tremendous. This year, I've got pretty close to break even, $10 of loss per head in the first quarter, $4 of loss in the last quarter, and then the second and third quarter, $5 to $10 of profit per head. So kind of a break-even year, break-even To me, I have all cost, including family labor, full depreciation in that. So, as Steve had mentioned, the incentive to continue to expand probably has been sharply cooled off, at least from a current profit standpoint.
Chris, this is Steve. And Dan, since I brought that up, my model is very close to Chris. The last one that I ran, and it's based off the Iowa State estimates, would be very close to break even. I think I had a minus $2 on it. And we still think that cost, which our model has them just over 70 bucks, could probably average right at 70 for the year when it's all said and done. So you can compare that to the price quotes you've got here from these guys and on a carcass weight basis. That's a carcass weight basis, and you can see that it's pretty close to break.
I will, this is Chris Hurt again, I will throw out that we have the lowest feed cost since 2010.
Yep.
I've got corn average price at $3.83 a bushel, and that would go back to 10 was 384, so similar. That's on a calendar year basis. I had a high-protein Decatur meal, 356, and we'd have to go back to 2011 to see it any lower, 334. So feed cost in total, the lowest in 5 years.
Bob or Dan, would you like to jump in on this question?
I think they covered it pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Dan. I wouldn't disagree at all with those gentlemen. I was busy during the time of the release and of the call, just actually writing commentary for the Dome clientele.
Okay. And operator, do we have other questions from our reporters?
There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, well, with that, I would like to thank everyone for joining us today, our three panelists, Chris Hurt, Professor of Agricultural Economics at Purdue University, Bob Brown, Independent Market Analyst at Edmond, Oklahoma, and Dan Vaught, Economist with Doan Advisory Services in St. Louis, Missouri. I'd also like to remind you that Pork Checkoff Funds were used to host this call as an education and information service for pork producers. The views expressed on this call were not necessarily those of the National Pork Board and do not in any way reflect marketing direction from the National Pork Board. Thanks for joining our call today, and if there's anything that we can do to assist you report or with anything else that we have from a media standpoint, we're happy to do so. Please just let me know, and I'm happy to assist in any way. Thanks, and have a great rest of the afternoon.